Matthew 28. Matthew 28 from verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority. That word authority is the word exousia. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He says, go therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Say, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Say, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So he said, go make disciples. The key word, hallelujah. Before we get to look at that, we concluded from the past 3 weeks that a man's worship of God will be to the degree of his knowledge, right? He has about God. You cannot see, you cannot worship God outside your knowledge of Him. Seriously. You can't worship God outside your knowledge of Him. Amen. Amen. Look at Jesus' encounter with that Samaria. He said, you know, with the Samaritan woman, rather, that would be John chapter 5. If I'm not mistaken, quickly rush to John 5. John 4. Sorry. Don't mind me. Amen. Glory to God. I said John 4, right? Okay, look at something. Verse 5. No, look at verse 9. Let's just be fast. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink for me, a Samaritan? A Samaritan woman, for Jews have no dealing with Samaritan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I really need to show you something quick. Look at verses 19 to 20. The woman said to him, now, there's a distinction, right? She is a Samaritan, Jesus is a Jew. Look at verses 19. And the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain. And the Jews say, in Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship. Did you see this? The Samaritan or the Samaritan, or those of Samaria, believe they worship on the mountain. You know that? The Jews who say, no, God is not on the mountain. God is inside Jerusalem. Did you see that? God is inside the temple. Did you see? So their worship of God is restricted. Do you get that? It's restricted to what? To what they know about God. Are you following me? Amen. Amen. You cannot worship God outside your knowledge of Him. I remember one time we told a brother years back, a brother, I can't make such mistakes anymore. So, you know, that was around 2006, 2007. I can't really place the year. You know me, there are some times I miss these 3 years, 2005, 2006, 2007, I miss them very well. But as far as 2007, I could still remember. Then, we were having a meeting, I would call the brother. It goes simply. If anybody has been disturbing, everybody comes to lead, comes to me, sir. Allow me lead one day now. Let me just lead prayer. Allow me lead prayer. I thought of it. I said, you know why? I couldn't allow him lead. Because I'm not really sure. You know what? And your pastor is not sure of me. I'm not really sure. And I don't get come and lead. Lead.
Highest, just lead.
Everyone close your eyes. I will help. Did that desperate? I was about to pray. He knows we pray in tongues. I said, everybody keep quiet. Keep quiet. Bad angels are passing. Ah! Hey! That is how he told us. He said, keep quiet. Bad angels that person. And then we were just quiet. We were quiet. Quiet for some minutes. And I said, yes, they've gone. Hey, Jesus. Glory to God. You know, I'm just, I look at you like this. You look at me. I couldn't just let him get out. But today did. I said, oh, man, come on. And they've gone. Okay, now let's thank God. Bad angels are gone. Good angels are passing. What sort of nonsense is that? That is the decree of his knowledge. Hallelujah. And people that I know here, when I knew them, when I started knowing the word, when they play fire for you, you will run. They are fire like a barrier cat. You know what I mean? You know.
Amen. Yeah.
But you know, as they began to know the word, you know, your prayer pattern will change. Hallelujah. In fact, it will even show your dreams. You used to dream that the world was always chasing you. You are the only righteous person in the world. The whole world is against you. Hallelujah. But you know, the moment you begin to know the word of God, your dreams will change. Are you following that? That is what it is. So you cannot know. See, your worship of God is only the degree of your knowledge. Hallelujah. This is why Paul's prayer for the local church. Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus, his prayer for the church at Colossae, at Philippi, at Thessalonica is directed towards knowledge. He prayed for them that they will grow in knowledge. Knowledge is important. After your salvation, when I mean salvation, when a man gets born again, the next most important thing in his Christian walk is to grow in knowledge. You understand? When a man gets born again, the next step is for him to grow in knowledge. So knowledge becomes important. Hallelujah. Becomes very important. And this is the reason why he gave in the local church elders. He gave pastors in charge of the local church. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11. He says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. He says, we will all come to the unity of faith, that is, to the knowledge of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To the measure of the status of the fullness of God. Hallelujah. So, watch that. He says, so we all come to the unity of faith, that is the knowledge of the Son of God. To the knowledge of the Son of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says, he who desires the office of a bishop desires a good thing, right? Now, he gave, now went ahead to give the description of a bishop. One thing he says about the characteristics of a bishop is that he must be apt to teach. Hallelujah. He said a bishop must be blameless, husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, apt to teach. That word, able to teach, means skillful in teaching. So it's not just coming to talk bedtime story. No, he must be skillful. Now, skillfulness there has to do with rightly dividing the words of truth. So he was able to divide the words of truth. So teaching becomes, this is why he gave pastors, so that what we will be taught. Are you following that? And we'll be taught. So knowledge is important. Hallelujah. Paul would tell Philemon in Philemon 6, he says that the communication of your faith will become effectual, effective, operative. He said, by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. What is he telling me? He's telling me that your Christian walk, right? Your Christian walk, that is your relationship among believers. Your relationship among believers, among those who are not believers, is to the degree of your knowledge about Christ. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. How I will relate to believers and non-believers will be to the degree of my knowledge concerning Christ. So I want you to look at this. So that means the knowledge or My worship of God and my relationship with other believers and non-believers will be to the degree of the knowledge of the word of God that I know. Are you following that? Glory to God. Are you following me? Amen. Very important. Very, very important. So this is why knowledge is important. And this is why Jesus will say, make disciples. How? Verse 20 says, teaching them. You see? So teaching becomes the primary meeting of the local church. Teaching becomes the primary meeting. Teaching meeting becomes the primary meeting of the local church. If you have, see, you cannot belong to a local church where premium is not placed on teaching the word. That I don't like my church. Why? When it is time to dance,
oh God,
I don't miss the worship session or the Thanksgiving session. You're always checking out for who is doing child dedication. There's no child dedication in this church. I want to dance. Oh, hallelujah. Just so funny. Glory to God. Amen. We hope our pastors will be able to teach. I'll be able to teach on the topic, the new dance and the new song. Amen. Amen. The new dance and the new song. There's a new dance and there's a new song. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Very important. Who's going to dance? Why like that John calls to dance? But you know, a pastor should not be making us sleep in church because he will talk and teach and teach and will be sleeping. Are you for me? They just give us SMS, short message, sermon, bah! Give up, put it in bullet point, four ways of advancing your business in the church. In the church. How to grow your business from grace, from grass to grace. One, know the Lord. you just acquired an entrepreneur, not a pastor. A pastor must place premium on teaching Christ. He said, teaching them to observe all. Teaching them to observe all whatsoever have commanded you. He said, and lo, I am with you always. So meaning Jesus gives us a curriculum for what should be taught in the church. What should be taught? What Jesus taught. What did Jesus teach from the Old Testament? What do we have in the Old Testament? 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 15 to 16. It says, for my child you've known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So that means what I will be taught in the scriptures will be concerning Christ and his work. Are you hearing me? Amen. Are you following that? Glory to God. Glory to God.
You know, I like the pastor because he knows how to come to our level. He knows that there is global economic crisis. So he teaches global how to come out from crisis. From crisis to grace.
Amen. You're just wasting your time. Amen. Glory to God.
Let's move ahead and be fast. So, we said teaching meeting is the primary meeting of the local church, right?
Primarily. And then we said we have other meetings, prayer meetings, healing meetings, evangelistical meetings, and we have the Holy Ghost meeting. And that is where we've been discussing on the Holy Ghost meetings.
And we said the Holy Ghost meeting is our town hall meeting.
For believers. It's our town hall meeting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In our town hall meeting, where the word of God is given, where the teaching of the word is given first place. The teaching of the word is given first place. The Holy Ghost is given free course through every believer.
I want you to take note of that. The Holy Ghost is given free course through every believer, and we all are edified. We all are edified. Leaving the door, leaving the meeting through the door rejoicing.
We all are edified, leaving the meeting through the door rejoicing. Hallelujah. Are you following that?
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, in saying this, We look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 14 in discussing the Holy Ghost meeting. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. Are you there? 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. I'll read from verse 23. He said, if the whole church come together in one place and all speak with tongues, and they come in those who are uninformed and unbelievers, will they not say you are out of your mind? I will say, in the Holy Ghost meeting, will look strange to the man who does not believe or who is uninformed. Either ways, the person is uninformed. Hallelujah. A man who is not born again or a man who is uninformed. Now, the Holy Ghost meeting will look strange. Strange. Because he doesn't know the worship of God to be in that form. Are you following that? So it will look strange. He said, if the whole church come together and we all speak in tongues, what is happening? It shows that we cannot come together and we all speak with tongues. And we all speak as interpretations. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. So, in the Holy Ghost meeting, we can all come together and speak in tongues. Remember, we said in the Holy Ghost meeting, the gift of the Spirit are in full demonstration. The gift of the Spirit are in full demonstration. Hallelujah. Are in full demonstration. And we said the utterance gift will be much more what? Who can remember? When it comes to believers coming together, which is the best gift? The utterance gift, right? We said that, right? The utterance gift is for when believers come together. It will be the best gift when believers come together. And the revelation gift will flow. The revelation gift will walk through the doors of the utterance gift. We said that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We said the revelation will flow from the utterance gift. Now, we then said the power gift will be the best gift when we go out to meet the unbelievers, right? Be the best gift. Does it mean that in a Holy Ghost meeting we cannot have power gift in this place? No. Are you following me? But that is not the priority. The priority in the Holy Ghost meeting, in the general priority, the utterance gift and the revelation gift are of more priority in the Holy Ghost meeting than the power gift. The power gift will be operational if there's anyone who is sick. But it doesn't mean the power gift is absent. It is present. Are you following me? But not the best at that time. Glory to God. Glory to God. Are you following me? Because you know, when believers are together, the most important is the utterance. Now, the utterance gift can, when the utterance gift will come most of the time a revelation, right? Now, the revelation, now, when it comes to revelation, you can have revelation of an impending or of someone who is sick. And what do you think will not be in operation when that revelation is given? The power gift. Hallelujah. For the miracles to take place. Are you following me? But what is the major door through which others flow from? Or translate? Are you following me? Are you following me? If we get out into the world, and let's say we're going for an evangelism, what do you think will happen when I see an unbeliever who is sick? The power gift was, right? And it's something you need to know. The power gift. You know, I told them that this week we'll be having, from tomorrow, we'll be having power preaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. At least for 2 days. 2 or 3 days. We'll have power preaching. Hallelujah. Now, when it comes to the power gift, I knew that the Holy Ghost is leading me to talk about the power gift today, but I've been trying to dodge from it. But I'm here. I'm on it again. Glory to God. Now, when it comes to power gift, you must understand
Now, we should, I hope we know what power gift is. Let me get it. What is the gift? What is the gift of this? Working of miracles? Gift of faith? Gift of healing. Hallelujah.
That is the power gift.
Now, when you get to an unbeliever, someone who is, or someone who is sick, you don't start saying, I'll give you something. Something happened one time. We were big in terms of those things. And I'll tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you something that happened. I just remember now. But I'm going to tell you what happened one time. But let's just move ahead. And I'm not quite going to be better. So that you don't sit there and say, bro. So you may not have said that in the pastor's name. No.
Hallelujah. But you know,
you get the one who is sick and you're on outreach. What you do is to first of all lay your hands on the sick. Are you hearing me? You lay your hands on the sick.
Now,
get on the time to start saying, what the Holy Ghost say? Somebody you see, and he's not born again. I say, you shall lay to stay. No. Glory to God.
In fact, the story is this. We went out to do one power outreach one time. That was 2006. And we got to meet this young guy.
No, is it young? A bit aging, but not our age brackets, but somebody's father.
And I just laying hands on people around the world. I just got here, I wanted to lay hands. You know, just so ready to lay hands. And the boy that was with said, hey, man of God, stop.
I paused.
And after I said, sir, you know what the Holy Ghost is saying? Say, let me take it off, brother. Amen. I could lay on anything. The other one day I laid hands on somebody's leg. Laid it! Went home and need to touch my hands. As in I was laying hands on anything. As long as you are not fine, we lay hands.
Glory to God.
Amen. Like 1 week I told the brother there, I'm going to lay hands on 50 people. 50! And I was serious. We're looking for 60 people. I remember one day I went to a block and I asked them 60 people. Just want to lay hands, as in.
Glory to God.
But you know, what I thought I said, if I look back today and I look at the character of Jesus, I wouldn't have done that. Hallelujah. I wouldn't have done that. I would just lay hands and go. Lay hands and let the person be healed.
Are you following me? That's not the time to start giving word of knowledge. Or, you know what I mean? Not word of knowledge. I'm getting there now. I want to listen to something. Not that time to start giving utterance gifts. And you shall walk. And you shall stand. You shall stand up, and you know the Lord.
No.
What is important at that point is the power gift.
Are you following me?
Yeah.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Amen.
You know, and when you go for outreaches,
I'm still talking about. When you go for outreaches, you could also, you know, the power gift will also work via the revelation gift.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah. You will get to a place and maybe the people you are talking to, you are ministering to, could remember one that happened at Ogoloko when we went out on a Sunday to have evangelism. I don't know if you can still remember, or just this part. And I was talking to someone and I said, is there somebody here who is not sick? And the woman said, see, she didn't tell me I was preaching. I said, there's somebody here who is not sick. Who is sick? And then he said, she's having a leg pain, something like that. And I had to lay hands on her first. Now, the revelation came. Are you hearing me? The revelation came.
So, you will actually get to know people with critical illness by revelation. So when you go out for power outreaches to see those who are sick and pray for them,
You don't just walk anyhow. No. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't just go out like that. Because you must make sure you are well, it's sort of what I'm taking you on to the, you must desire. Do you understand? You must desire to put the gift of the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. There are cases I believe beyond what you can see. Are you understanding this? Now, when things like that happen, now when you get to meet someone who is sick, and you lay hands on the person, and the person gets healed, because the person should be healed. Hallelujah. Now, when you get to lay hands on the person, and the person gets healed, don't rejoice there. Don't miss it. Because many a times, when you have someone healed, you have people come around. People want to see what has happened. Are you hearing me? People want to know what has happened. It happened in the days of Jesus. He will lay hands on the sick. Even in the apostles, Acts 3. That man at the gate called Beautiful. What happened? People gathered. People always get together. Ah! See miracle. You two don't join another. It's an avenue. Just like Jesus. Oh, I've not talked about the miracles of Jesus. I promised you that. Right? Just like Jesus, all of Jesus' miracles, he didn't you have to listen to what he said afterwards. Because all of Jesus' miracles was him preaching about what would happen. The resurrection. Are you following me? He would tell the woman, go and sin no more. It's not by her power that she can go out, but he was talking about in the resurrection. Hallelujah. Are you following me? He would tell another, he said, you would tell him, least, he said, go sin no more. He said, least a greater. Oh, I guess I skipped that. He said, least something worse happens. So what is the something worse that would happen? What is the go and sin no more? He was talking about what? In the resurrection. He was talking and pointing to what he would do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is the worst thing? Except a man. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave him the Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish. So the worst thing is if a man doesn't get born again and he dies. That is the worst thing that has happened. So all of Jesus' miracles will be pointing to the miracle of the resurrection. Are you following that? So he would use his miracles to talk about the resurrection. He multiplied 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, and he would tell them, I am the bread of life. He multiplied it, they saw the miracle. Yet he said, I am the bread of life. They just finished eating. Bread and fish. He said, I am the bread of life. He who eats of me will die no more. Do you understand that? So, a miracle just happened. But in between, you must listen to what he said. He used that miracle, and I'm having you to talk about the miracle of what? His resurrection. Are you following that? Are you following that? So, in a power where you are, when you pray for one who is sick, be intelligent to know when people come around. When people come around, don't just allow them enjoy the moment and go. No, it's an opportunity to talk about the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a greater miracle in Christ when a man gets saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, miracles point to the miracle. That is why in Luke chapter 20, he sent them out. When he sent them out, they came back and they were rejoicing. And they said, Master, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And then he replied and said, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the works of the enemy. that not you shall by any means hurt you. He said, I gave you power to tread upon snakes and scorpions. May Jesus acknowledge the fact that he gave them the right, gave them the power. But he doesn't say, in this rejoice not. Meaning you don't rejoice for miracles. No. You use that as an avenue to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Are you following that? Are you following that? Yes. Be intelligent. Be intelligent. Hallelujah. Be intelligent. When you go to talk to someone about Christ and then someone sick, don't let them, don't just allow it to go like that. Lay hands on the sick. Hallelujah. You go to talk to someone about Christ. I'm a revelation, you that person is sick. Pray for the person. And then you preach the gospel. Are you following that?
Are you following that? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 So the best gift when believers are gathered together is the offerings gift. That was how we left. I'm starting talking about power gift. It's the offerings gift. Hallelujah. So the next question will now be, how can I get prepared for a Holy Ghost meeting? How can I get prepared for a Holy Ghost meeting? Because we said in the Holy Ghost meeting, the gift of the Spirit are in full demonstration. So how can I get prepared? How can I get prepared? The needs of men, of others are met. You know, I'm going to talk about that a bit, but we'll expand on it in 2021. You know, the needs of others are met through me in that meeting. Are you following me? Through me in that meeting. Because in the Holy Ghost meeting, we all minister one to another. Are you following me? We all do what? Minister one to another in the Holy Ghost meeting. So how should I get prepared? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 31. It says, but earnestly desire. Are you there? It says, but earnestly desire the best gift. Earnestly desire the best gift. And yet I show you a more excellent way. It says, desire the best gift. And we said, the word best gift is what? Relative, right? That's what I just explained. It's relative. Meaning if it's a Holy Ghost meeting, it is what? Offerings. How do we know? Look at verse chapter 13, verse 1. It said, therefore, if I speak with tongues, remember from chapter 12 into chapter, I mean from chapter 11 into chapter 14, Paul is discussing the Holy Ghost meeting. A believer's meeting, when believers come together. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 11, 17. It says, look at 1 Corinthians 11, 17. It says, I do not give, none I gave this instruction. I do not praise you since you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Meaning, he was talking about their coming together. He said, it's supposed to be for the better, but they came together for the worse because of what happened when they come together. Then he now changes it. He now said, when we all come together, I will all speak with tongues. Meaning, he's changing what you do when they come together. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, in chapter 13, verse 1, he now said, though therefore, if I speak with the tongues of men, therefore, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, now he goes to offerings. Offerings. When we come together. Chapter 14, verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. He speaks about offerings gift when we come together. So meaning when we come together, the best gift is the offerings gift. What is the offerings gift? Tongues, interpretation of tongues, and that is called prophecy. Right? Are you following that? Are you following that? When we come together, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy, when we come together. That's the best. I will now say the revelation gift will come through the doorways or the pathway of what? Of offerings gift, right? So the offerings gift is the door to the revelation gift. Meaning, as I speak in tongues and give interpretation, something can be revealed or something will be revealed. Hallelujah. Are you following that? Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's move a bit further. It says, desire the best gift. That word desire. Desire. Is from the Greek word zelo. Zelo. Zelo is from the root word called zeo. Zelo. Z-E-L-O-O. Is from the root word called zeo. Z-E-O. Zeo implies to be red hot. To be fervently hot. When something is hot. Are you hearing me? When something is hot. Now when it says earnestly desire, it means to be asked to aggressively want to do something. To be red hot. Pastor Shego will say to stand is like standing at the edge. You know what it means to stand at the edge? You are just ready. Hallelujah. Red hot. It says earnestly desire the best gift. Earnestly be. Now, I'd like to say something the way the Greek renders it. Look at the way the Greek. In the Greek, he put it as to keep being hot. To keep being, to keep desiring. It's not something that is in the past. No, it's something that is a present. It's a present continuous. Do you understand me? It's a present now continuous. So it's continuous. It's not something you desire and you stop. No, it's something that you keep having. Don't say, that was last year. You see, I was desiring it. I will not desire more. He said, no. It's a continuous thing for the believer. Hallelujah. Both for CRC, when we are out of here, when there's no CRC, you must keep desiring. Hallelujah. Be red hot to give a talk, to give an interpretation. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Be red hot. Remember, the reason why you give a tongue and an interpretation is so that others will get blessed, right? For the common good of others. It's not for you to showcase. It's not you showcasing. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you want to meet needs. Hallelujah. You want to meet needs. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't get competitive about it, but just say, I'm going to be red hot. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 I'll tell you what I did. That was 2 years ago. I told myself, that was 2 years ago, around November 2 years ago. We were going for Believers Convention, 2 years. And, I'm getting prepared. I said, in the group where I will be, I told myself, the way I was red hot, I told myself, go for that meeting, and I'll be the first to give a tongue and give an interpretation. Tell me, I'll be the first. And then I tell myself, how soon, how fast, can I give a tongue and interpretation? And some people, just 30 minutes. And they are sitting there waiting for other people. But I just want to give them. That is how desirous I was. I want to meet the need. That was the ultimate reason. But yet, I gave myself. I want to be the first. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell myself, within 50 seconds, I got the tongue and interpretation. 50 seconds. No, we never. A tongue and an interpretation immediately. You have to be desirous. Be red. Be hot. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember what that I say. And I keep saying, whenever I'm going into a believer's meeting, I keep saying, nobody's need that is meant for me. See, everybody's need, like we're in this group, and I'm coming, I say, any group that I will be, either there are needs of people to be met by me. Via utterance, it will not go. It will not go. I will not live without delivering it. I will not live without delivering it. Because I know need to be met through me. You understand? Need to be met through me. So I'm desirous. It will be seen in my utterances before that meeting. How needs are met today. Oh, Father, thank you. I'm ready. I'm ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm red hot. Because I know. If I don't yield to the Holy Ghost, somebody's needs will not be met. So I need to yield. I need to yield and yield on time. Are you hearing me? I need to yield and yield on time. I need to yield and yield on time.
Your will, O God. See, the Holy Ghost within you, you are made hot. You are ready. Hallelujah. You are ready. Your will, O God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
They say, who will flow first in Revelation? Look, you are ready. Hallelujah. You are ready. Glory to God. God, you are desirous. Desirous to receive. To receive one another. To receive one another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, the problem, you know,
I heard this from, I heard it years back from Kenneth Hagin.
You see, the problem is not with the transmission. No. The problem is with the receiver. Are you following me? The problem is not whether there is transmission or not. There's always transmission. It's you. How willing are you? How fast can your receiver receive the transmission and deliver? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So the transmission is not the problem. It's there. It's readily available. Glory to God. Glory to God. So I'm red hot. I'm red hot. You know, I keep it in my words. Yeah, I keep it in my words. Oh, needs are met by me. Needs are met by me. Needs are met by me. Oh, Lord God. The brother, the sister that I will minister to, that will be in my group. Yes, 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 their needs will be met. They will not live without their needs being met by me. You know, you have desires. You have desires. Glory to God. Pastor will say, you are at the edge. You are at the edge. You know, you are at the edge. You just want, you know, you are at the edge. Glory to God. Desires. Ready to. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I'm desirous to give an utterance, to give a revelation, and receive also. You know, you are also desirous to receive. They also desire us to receive. Oh, hallelujah. My needs are met as I go for meeting. Ah, yeah, yeah, and the needs of others are met through me too. Are met through me too. Yeah, my needs are met. My needs are met. Utterance. Oh, I flow easily with utterance. I flow easily with revelation. The party, all are walking through me. During Holy Ghost meeting, all are walking through me. Men are blessed. The brother, the sister, and me are blessed. Oh, they are blessed, you know, and I receive too from them. I receive from them. Glory to God. You know, just keep it within you. Just, you know, you just keep talking about it. You keep yourself red hot. You keep yourself ready. Keep yourself ready. Keep yourself ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Also, in being desirous, in being desirous, in desiring, I must keep my heart pure. I must keep my heart pure. I must keep my heart void of offense. I must keep my heart void of offense. Very important. You know, before and during the Holy Ghost meeting. You know, when it comes to meetings, Holy Ghost meeting, people that easily get into offense, I have to say, people that easily get into offense are either those who are in charge of, either administrative purpose, they easily fall into offense. Are you following me? Maybe they arrange, you are supposed to arrange the decoration. Are you following me? Just got offended. Just remember, you know, just easily get offended. No, keep your heart, watch your heart before, during the meeting. Very important, watch your heart. Keep you void of offense. Because in the place of offense, a man cannot receive. It is seemingly impossible to receive in the place of offense. So you keep your heart, hallelujah. You keep your heart. Are you following me? Especially those who will be involved in administration, administrative parts. Maybe setting it up, doing one or two things, and you know, just keep your heart void of offense. Very important, void of offense. Hallelujah. That is what I'm trying to tell you, that I must walk in honor. Keep your heart void of offense. Keep your heart void of offense. keep your heart right. Keep your mind right. Keep your mouth to mind right. Keep your heart right. Glory to God.
How do you feel?
Let me hit some people. I'm about to say something, but let me give this example. How will you feel? If I don't want to give you word of knowledge, or you're in the Holy Ghost meeting, and somebody says, bro, I don't have a word for you. And maybe the person dashed out of the house without brushing. Maybe because he was late, and he came to a meeting without brush. Now I'll give you word. And that word is sounding like, oh my God. And you're going to go, you have offended. You will not receive. You will not. You will not receive. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
So, you will not receive in such attitude. Because of why? They say, how can he come for a Holy Ghost meeting and be not bad? Look at your mindset. And that mindset, you should not be your mindset for coming. But if such an issue happens, would that be what will deter you from receiving? Would that be what will deter you from receiving? No. No. Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah.
Amen. 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 Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I was working on. So you must understand that God uses men.
Very important. God uses men. Not just men. God uses men in three bodies. God uses men. God uses men. You know, God wanted to save man. And what? He came himself as a man, in the likeness of man.
He wants to save man, he came as a man. Hallelujah. John 1:14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hallelujah.
In Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5. Philippians 2 verse 5. Philippians 2 verse 10. Let this mind be with you which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, do not consider it robbery. That is bad translation. Hallelujah. Do not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant, and coming in the likeness of men, was found in the appearance as a man. Did you see that? Hallelujah. As a man.
Philippians 2:5-9, as a man.
So you must understand that God uses men to convey his truth. God uses men
to convey his truth. Men with lapses. Men with lapses. Men that you will find issues with. Are you hearing me? Men that will have issues. God uses men. Hallelujah. Free men.
God uses men.
So in the place of offense, a man cannot receive. Look at Mark 6. Jesus came to his own. Mark 6 verse 1 to 5. He came to his own Nazareth. The Bible says they gave him his feeding. Say, is this not Joseph's son? Is this not the carpenter whose brothers are with us, whose sisters are married among us? He's not giving word at his habitation. Bible says they were offended. Take note of that. They were offended. Bible says, and Jesus could not do any mighty works there. They were offended.
Offense.
Offense. Bible says Jesus marveled at their unbelief. So offense will produce unbelief in the men that God uses.
Are you following me?
I bet someone say, hey, if this one that God will send to me, may God not send anybody. I've never heard that before. If it is you that God will send, come with me. May God not send anybody, I don't want. Offense. Offense will make people say nonsense. Offense.
Offense. Amen.
Offense. So, very important. So, God wanted to pass a message of salvation to Paul. Who did he send? He sent Ananias. He said, Ananias, he said, the man. Unless someone to lay hands on Paul, for Paul's sight to be restored, he didn't do it himself, he said, the man. Are you following that? Amen. So God's work among men is done by God through men. God's work amongst men is done by God through men. So I must honor men. Men with the Holy Ghost. I must honor men. Men with the Holy Ghost. Born again men. I must honor them. Because God has placed his honor on them. Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah. Yes, so in the Holy Ghost meeting, I must honor the brethren. I must honor the brethren. Both in the meeting and after the meeting, I must honor brethren. Because after CRC, we will have many more Holy Ghost meetings, personal Holy Ghost meetings among believers. Among believers. Glory to God. You know, men will easily initiate it. You just initiate a Holy Ghost meeting among believers. In the two, in the three, you just have a Holy Ghost meeting. Just have a Holy Ghost meeting. Just have a Holy Ghost meeting. Amen. 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 And you'll be springing forth. It will go round and round. Hallelujah. It will go round and round. And you will not despise it. You will not despise it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's continue. Glory to God. So, in a Holy Ghost meeting,
we say I must be desirous, I must honor men. Right? In a Holy Ghost meeting, I must be
in one accord. That is, I must be actively involved. Look at Acts 2. Let's start from Acts 1 verse 14. Acts 1 14 shows what they were doing. Said, and all this continued in what? In one accord, in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. They were in what? One accord. Chapter 2 verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were in one accord in one place. One accord means they were in one mind.
They were doing the same thing. They were in the same place. They were in the same place. In the Holy Ghost, we must be in the same place. We must be doing the same thing. We must be actively involved. Not some people, and you know, people will be counting the silly in the Holy Ghost meeting. No. You must be actively involved. Hallelujah.
Say, I'm actively involved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled. Mark that word. They were all filled. They were all in one accord. They were all filled. They were all filled. All. Mark that word. All. Meaning everybody with the exception of no person. Everybody with the exception of no person. Were involved. They were involved actively. They were involved actively. They were involved actively. Not somebody, some people are rejoicing and some people are looking at them. No, they were involved actively. They were involved actively. They were involved actively. Mind what takes your concentration. Mind what takes your concentration in a Holy Ghost meeting. No, you must be involved actively. You must be involved actively. You must be involved actively. Are you following me? Actively. Actively. That word is important. All. 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 Meaning everybody were doing the same thing. In 1 Corinthians 12:23, it says, if the whole church comes together in one place and all
In the Holy Ghost meeting, all and all speak with tongues. And all.
Remember we said chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians is explaining the Holy Ghost meeting. And all. The watchword is all. Hallelujah. And all.
So in the Holy Ghost meeting, you are not watching. You are not looking. Say, look at the way this. Oh, hey, look at the way he's just rejoicing. Look at him. No! In your heart, you don't say nonsense. No, you are actively involved. Glory to God. There's no graduation here. We are here. Come 50, 60, 70, 80.
Yes!
Hallelujah. No outgrowing it. No outgrowing it. No outgrowing it. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Woo, glory.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory.
Hallelujah.
Someone said, I saw the way you were. What's that? It's all over my video. What is that? Everybody is just doing. That thing looks useful. Remember one day you go old, and then even I'm 70. When I'm 18, I'm 90, I'll keep doing it. I'll keep doing it. Mark it. I will not change for me. I'll keep doing it. It's got nothing to do with age. No, Jesus did. My Father did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's the prototype. He's the one, he's the model son. Hallelujah. I see him do it. So I can. Who am I? Hallelujah. Who am I? Who is me? I'll do it. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He said, you're just doing it. You are another person now saw that video. No one did. He now went to look for Kenny Higgins' video. And sent it to me. We're just sending me Kenny Higgins' video when he was rejoicing in the spirit. He sent it to me on WhatsApp. Another person. I mean, I asked, why did you send it to me? He said, that is how you do it. Oh, you could see the similarity. So that is how you do it. You are watching well. Glory to God. You are watching well. Amen. Amen.
So we're all doing the same thing. We're all doing the same thing. You know, some people might become tempted.
And this is why I begin to round up.
Glory to God.
So, this is why I begin to round up. In the Holy Ghost meeting, you know, some people can be tempted, especially those who are uninformed and unbelievers. When they see what is happening, and you know, if you know what will come to mind is Acts 2. Fire. You know, we explain that. Fire. And these guys are mad. You know, I wanted to just picture Acts 2. Like, close your hand. You don't see everything happening. You know, some people just. What did they say for me? Woo! You would think they are rejoicing. You know that? Woo! You know, everybody shouting, woo! And you just think, woo! In their mind, they're not rejoicing. They're just enjoying the moment. Woo! Mighty power. Woo! No! In a Holy Ghost meeting, you don't clap.
Yes, sir. Yeah, in the scriptures. Yes, we're going to see it.
Glory to God. You know, clapping is not a means of praising God or worshiping God in the scriptures. We don't see in the New Testament, we don't have any instructions to clap. In the Old Testament, we don't have either.
And I'm going to show us. Hallelujah. I say I'm rounding up here. Hallelujah. We don't have any examples in scriptures to clap. Let's look at the word clap is used 8 times in the whole Bible. How many times? eight times. And in the whole eight times, we're going to look at it, you discover that none was an instruction to believers to clap to the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at Job 27:23. Job 27:23. Quickly. You know, a lot of people think, you know, I heard someone say, you need to understand the science of clapping. The way you clap. When you clap like this, blood will begin to flow through your veins. It will be going, it will be circulating. Don't you know what clapping does? Even science has proven it. Only science has proven nothing. And I asked a medical doctor, is that true? He said, I don't know when this discovery was made. I just said, okay.
Let's continue. 27:23, Job. He said, look at what he said. He says, men shall clap their hands at him. Who was he referring to? He was talking about the wicked man. Look at verse 30. He said, this is the portion of the wicked man with God. He's talking about the wicked man. He says, men shall clap their hands at him and shall ease him out of his place. Did you see that? Men, Job 27:23. Job 27:23. It says, men shall clap their hands at him and ease him out of his place. Who? The wicked man. So, it's used for what? It's used for mockery. Mockery. Men shall, they shall clap their hands at him and ease him. Means that they are clapping up. It's used for mockery. Mockery. Let's look at another place. Job 34. 34. Verse 37. Job 34, 37. Say, for he has rebellion to his sin. I want you to be there. Job 34, 37. Are you there? He said, for he adds rebellion to his sin. He claps his hands amongst us and multiply his words against God. Did you see that? For he adds rebellion to his sin. What is the rebellion? He says he claps his hands amongst us. And does what? And multiply his words against God. So clapping is used for rebellion against God. Are you seeing that? Clapping is used for what? Rebellion. Oh, clap your hands. Some people don't know how to do. In the church. Remember they said, I will let you know anything wrong. You don't copy the word, stand out in the church. No. Hallelujah. Let's move ahead again. Let's move ahead. Remember, I said I'm going to teach on a new dance and a new song. I will also teach on this then. You also see. Hallelujah. But I'm just showing you this. Lamentations 2:15. Once you hear lamentation, you should know it's lamentation. Lamentation 2:15. Okay, Lamentation 2:15. Oh my God. No way. Very soon, one of these years, we will teach the book of Lamentation. And you see salvation through faith in Christ Jesus in Lamentation. Hallelujah. He said, all who passes by. So people are looking for Lamentation. Is that the way to Lamentation? Is that the revelation?
There's another future will go on now. Everyone will close their
mind. Lamentation. Lamentation is after Jeremiah.
It's okay.
See, people will lose their leadership position.
Welcome to Lamentation.
Look at Jeremiah. After Jeremiah, Lamentation.
When they will be skipping classes on this,
John Omar Crusader to
that is it. Lamentations 2. Verse 15. Are you there? Okay, say, all who pass by clap their hands at you. They ease and shake their heads at the daughter of Jerusalem. Is this the city that is called the perfection of beauty and the joy of the whole earth? did I read it like that?
Then they will clap their hands and ease and say, at Jerusalem, is this the city, the perfection of beauty and the joy of the whole world? In mockery, what did they do? They clap their hands and ease. So clapping is used for mockery.
Open again to Nahum. Nahum. Fast on Nahum. I'm ready for a lot of people today. Pastor Smart, why did you do this to us today?
Okay, you got there. Are you there?
Who asked you, teacher? Okay, quickly. Now, Nahum chapter 2, verse 15. Did I say 15? Chapter 3, verse 19, sorry. 3:19. It says, your injury has no healing. Who is he talking to? The king of what? Assyria. He says, your injury has no healing. He says, your wounds is severe. All who hear news of you will clap their hands over you. For upon whom has not your wickedness passed continually? What is it used for here? Mockery too, right? Are you seeing it? What is clapping used for? Mockery. Ezekiel. Ezekiel 21:17. Amen. Amen. If you don't open there first, we will remove your name. Remove your name from the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm dash you a new name. Amen. Ezekiel 21:17. Check and see how we are going from scriptures to scriptures. Ezekiel 21:17. It says, I will also beat my fist together. That's the word clap. I will also beat my fist together. I will cause my fury to rest. I, the Lord, have spoken. Did you see that? Did you see that? It's not used for praises. No. No, it's a sign of fury. Anger. Are you following that? Look at chapter 25, verse 6, Ezekiel. 25, verse 6. I hope I'm not missing that. Okay, yeah, verse 6. And thus says the Lord God, because you clap your hands, stamp your feet, and rejoice in your heart with all your disdain for the land of Israel. Did you see that? Then he now said, indeed, therefore, I will stretch out my hands against you. Did you see that? It's used for mockery. The word clapping is used for mockery. Mockery. Another one that looks as if it's good, but if you look at it critically, you discover that it's used for mockery also. Psalms 47. Psalms 47. Now we've seen that it's used for mockery, right? Psalms 47 verse 1. Quickly. Is not used in worship to God. It's not used in worship to God. Psalms 47. Are you there? Are you with me? Verses 1. And this is all begins to round up. Psalm 47 verse 1. It says, oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God for the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome, right? He is a great king over all the earth. If you read this, look at now. No, we have to read well. Read in context. Can we read now together? 47:1. He says, oh, clap your hands, all you people. Listen, listen to what he's saying. He said, oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. You see that? So he's telling them to clap their hands. Shout to them, shout of triumph. Why? Verses 3. He said, for he will subdue the people under us and all the nations under our feet. What is he talking about? It means that clapping is not to God for praise. It's a clap of mockery, because God will subdue the nations that will come against us.
Hallelujah.
He didn't say you should clap to God. He said clap your hands on you people, not to God. So it's not used in worship to God. No. That is why we don't have any place in the New Testament, which is an explanation of Old Testament, where we are told to clap our hands in worship to God. Are you following me? Are you following me? Well, we don't have such instructions in the New Testament, because clapping is not a worship to God.
Can you see how many times you've clapped your hands in this in your life and think you are praising God? You cannot worship God above your knowledge of Him. Can you now see?
Rather, in the New Testament, when it comes to our worship of God, we are told to raise our hands and worship. Hallelujah. We have patterns of how to worship God in the New Testament. Glory to God. Are you following me? So in the Holy Ghost meeting, you don't clap. You don't clap hands.
You don't clap hands. It's negativity. You don't clap hands. No. Rather, you do what you enjoy.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we do the same thing in the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost meeting, we learn to do the same thing. So